Thank you, Claire, and thank you, Christine, for your prayers. Hope I don't get in trouble off the band for moving the furniture around. Friends, as Richard said before, that we come here today in our second series on the second sermon in our series on the Trinity, one God in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And wasn't it fantastic last week to hear from Andrew to set the scene of this whole series about the Trinity? The Trinity is complex, as I'm sure Andrew said last week, but we follow a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And today's topic is more about how the triune God reveals himself to us. Now, when I was thinking through this topic, I thought about how we build relationships and get to know people. Now, usually when we build a relationship and we want our relationships to go deeper, well, it takes time. It's not something that just happens overnight. We get to know a person a little bit better day by day, week by week, month by month, and we find out more about what makes them tick, how they react in certain situations, what they're like, what their dislikes are. We go deeper with people in our relationships as we get to know them over time. And this is the case for relationships maybe with your spouse, maybe with a fiance, maybe with a close friend. It takes time to get to know them. My wife, Rachel, and I, we've been married for 20 years now. 20 years, 20 fantastic years. And I know Rachel's good points. I know what frustrates her. And I know I frustrate her when I forget what frustrates her. Don't know if that's the same to you. But over time, let's stop that, please. as we come to church and hear about God, actually our relationship with him grows and grows, and our relationship with God actually takes time to grow as we read his word, as we talk with other Christians, as we serve. Over time, our relationship with God grows a lot deeper. And how God reveals himself in the Bible has actually taken thousands of years. And it's what's called progressive revelation, where God reveals himself more and more. His new revelation builds on his old revelation or his already known revelation. So the New Testament builds on the Old Testament foundation. And when we come to the start of our Bibles, what does it say? In the beginning, God reveals himself as creator. And then in Genesis 3, when sin enters the world, God reveals himself as judge and savior. And from this point on in the Bible, he keeps on revealing his plan, how he will rescue us from a world which has been broken by sin. See, God always had a perfect plan on how he was going to reveal himself and save his people through Jesus' death and resurrection. And this is why the Bible is often described as the story of salvation, or put it another way, the story of creation to new creation when Jesus returns and sets things right. So all throughout the Bible, God continually reveals himself. And he continually reveals himself as one God in three persons. Now, I actually believe that how God reveals himself progressively is great for us mere mortals. And as we look at the Old Testament foundation today, I feel like it's a little bit like starting a new job. See, when I worked in IT at St. George Bank and then the Commonwealth Bank, in the first weeks, in the first months, and even in the first couple of years, I only knew a little bit of how these organizations operated. It took me time to understand things and also my role in this organization. And gradually, over the years and doing different projects, I came to understand more about banking and more about these organizations. But by no means did I know everything by the end of my time at these banks. So actually, life is progressive revelation. Life is progressive revelation. And I'm so thankful that God chooses by his Holy Spirit to reveal himself to us progressively. And that he loves us so much that he takes each of us where we are and helps us over time to understand more about him. So the Bible is progressive revelation, but also God reveals himself individually to us progressively. And that is absolutely fantastic. So very soon, we're going to look at a few Old Testament examples where God reveals himself as one God in three persons. And then at the end, I'm going to give some implications of God revealing himself in this way. So the first example is we see that God reveals himself as one in three persons right at the start of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 is full of clues about who God is. In the beginning, God, Elohim, which is a plural noun, created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the first verses of the Bible, we meet a God who creates, a God who is spirit, a God who existed eternally before the world was created. And then in verse 26, which is described as the pinnacle of creation because humans are created to rule over God's good creation. God says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Let us make. This is a huge indicator that there's something about God that needs further revelation so that we can understand more about him. Now, at this point in the Bible, it's really only a hint of the triune God, because the purpose of the creation narrative is actually to point us first to a God who creates by his powerful word and an awesome God who wants relationship with us. But then, amazingly, as we flick to the pages of the New Testament, we get more of a hint of who God is in creation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. "For in him," talking about Jesus, "all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. So it seems that creation, it's not just God, it's not just the Spirit of God hovering over the creation, but when we come to the New Testament, we see that Jesus is there as well. So through progressive revelation, we see that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are there at the beginning. They existed before the creation, and they are the cause of the creation. Now, the second example is a little bit left field. But even when Moses declares that God is one in what's called the Shema, there's a hint of the triune God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, our God, Elohim, there's that plural noun again, the Lord is one. Love the Lord, Yahweh, your God, Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The oneness of God in this passage is more of a statement of his uniqueness rather than he's just one monotheistic being. It's saying that God is unique. God is awesome and wonderful, and he should be worshipped above all other gods. So while it's a statement, yes, of one God, it's actually a defense against idol worship, which was happening among Israel's neighbors at the time. And if we think about the Bible, especially in Judges and the Kings and Samuel as well, one of the sins that God's people are most prone to do is to worship these fake gods of the nations. So the purpose of the Shema is to protect God's people and point them to worship him. It doesn't deny the Trinity. And our last example is taken from our Bible reading today. Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9. See, by the time we hear from the prophets like Isaiah and the Psalms, well, we get a picture that God is complex. And we also get a picture that God wants to save a people for himself. And really, if we investigate our Bible reading today, and if we don't have a triune understanding of God, it actually starts to sound like gobbledygook. Let me explain. If we just read this not knowing who God is, not knowing that he's one God in three persons, we start asking questions like, who is the servant? Is the servant of the Lord just some random guy? What's this spirit? Is it some wafty little thing that's just being put on this servant because he's just a special guy? Who is actually God the Lord? And how on earth are all these multiple entities going to bring justice? Without understanding the triune God, this passage means nothing. Well, when we actually compare this passage to what happens in the New Testament, passages like what we heard last week at the baptism of Jesus, where we see the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove. We hear God the Father declaring verbally that he loves his son and that he delights in him. And when we compare that to Isaiah 42 verse 1, what do we have? We have a servant who God the Father upholds. The servant who is his chosen one. The servant who he delights in. The servant he places his spirit on. Starts to sound a lot like Jesus is the servant to me. Starts to sound like this is an action of the triune God, where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are involved. Now, when we come to the word justice in this little verse here, and I guess the rest of the passage, it's really important to have a broader scope of what this word means. Because this word actually points to what the servant will do. See, the servant isn't just some police officer who is upholding the law. The servant isn't a lawyer who is defending someone because they've been ripped off by another person. No, the servant of the Lord fulfills God's plan of salvation by suffering on the cross for the sins of the world. That's the justice the servant brings. The justice that sets those who trust in him, who trust in Jesus, free from sin. A justice that restores our relationship with God. Friends, it sounds like this servant is no other than Jesus Christ himself. And salvation is a perfect plan of the triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are at work here in Isaiah. And as the Old Testament points forward to the New Testament, well, we see many more allusions to Jesus. We see God the Father, who is mentioned as a lover of his people. And we see the Holy Spirit get mentioned more than 100 times. The New Testament, which reveals a whole lot about God, is built on the Old Testament foundation. And we could see this in these handful of verses that I've just spoken about. God continues to reveal himself across the pages of the Bible as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as one God in three persons. So today, as I close, I have three implications from understanding the Trinity as it's progressively revealed across the pages of the Bible. Now, the first one is, as God reveals himself more and more, and the different books of the Bible written in different periods of time come to make a coherent story about who God is and what he has done, well, our trust in the Bible as God's word should grow. As we see Genesis links to Colossians, Isaiah links to Matthew, and so many other linkages in the Bible, we come to firmly believe that all Scripture is God-breathed, and God speaks through his word to us so that we can understand more about him. And this should give us more confidence in following the God of the universe. It should give us confidence when we read or preach on the Scriptures that they are actually God's words. And it should give us confidence to live every day for the God of the universe. And friends, there's another implication of understanding the Trinity. And that is, you realize that all religions aren't the same. All religions aren't the same. See, this is what the Quran says. they have certainly disbelieved who say Allah is the third of three, and there is no God except one. And if they do not desist from what they are saying, they will surely afflict the disbelievers among them a painful punishment. See, friends, Islam is strictly monotheistic. There is no room for a triune God. Many Jewish religious groups share a hard-line monotheistic view of God as well. But there are also Christian groups like Christadelphians, Jehovah's Witnesses, who deny a triune God. There's mainstream churches where it seems like God has three masks. He can have the Father mask on sometimes. And when we come to a special part in the worship service, well, he puts the Holy Spirit mask on. And then when there's outreach happening, well, he might choose to put the Jesus mask on as well. Friends, this is what's called modalism. God doesn't have three modes. He doesn't have three modes. God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God, as this diagram shows on the screen. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And they're all God at the same time. See, understanding that the Father is at work through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life is so important. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, well, they are working together here now. They are working together here in our gathering. Friends, we don't come to church thinking that we're going to encounter one person of the Holy Spirit. One person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. We come to church expecting an encounter with God. One God in three persons. The final implication is God reveals himself across the pages of the Bible as love. God is love. But unless there are two persons to God, then he can't be love, right? As love is something that one person has for another. Richard recently got married. He needs a wife who's called Maggie to share love with. He can't do it on his own. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of the saying that that person loves themselves. But that's often a very unhealthy way of practicing love. And also we use that as a slur rather than an encouragement. The famous Christian author, C.S. Lewis, said that if God was a single person, then before the world was made, he was not love. But as we know, as we've heard today, that across the pages of the Bible, that God is love because he reveals himself as one God in three persons. So what 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, right at the end of our Bible says, is absolutely true because God is three persons and he is love. See, the triune God is a perfect loving relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they share perfect unity as one God. So we can confidently say that God is perfect love because of who he is by his nature. And as we discover the perfect love, his relationship, his unity that's within him, well, naturally, that's going to affect our relationship with others? How can we be encouraged to love one another? How can we share a deep unity with each other? How can we go deeper in our relationships? Well, these things only happen when we understand the triune God more and more. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Growing in our understanding of the Trinity gives us great confidence in God's word. It guards us and deepens our relationship with God and each other. Let me pray. Father God, we just thank you so much that you reveal yourself to us in the pages of the Bible, that you reveal yourself as Trinity, that you reveal yourself as love, that you reveal yourself as unity in relationship, as you help us to honor you more and more, as you help us to grow united as a body of believers, as you help us to grow deeper in our relationships with one another, as you help us to grow deeper in our relationship with your Son, Jesus. Father, we just want to thank you that you reveal yourself to us as one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.